Welcome to chapter number 2. Here again we are going to have some exploration for the foundation of our successive chapters, and where we get into the detailings of the various aspects of project management. But here again we are going to touch upon some concepts and some terminology which is required to go ahead in the process of studying further chapters. Okay. The first point is project goal. Before starting any new thing, we should be very clear on day one what you are going to achieve. So our destiny should be very clear. Same is applicable in project goal. Any success depends on your understanding what will be your journey towards your destiny. So that is what we are going to do through the project development. So project is a launch for meeting a specific purpose. First of all, project always has some specific objective or goal. So identifying this goal and clearly understand the requirements of the goal is very first step towards the progress of project development. So we have to see that how we can define the project goals with maximum clarity. If you are failing to doing this, probably our project may fail because our deliverables are not clear. And once you develop a project and hand it over to the customer or your respective party, they will realize there are many things lagging, and then your project is partially or fully failed. This should not happen, and that is why the project goal is very, very important, followed by scope and requirements. So if you look at the goals, there are two parts we can say, not type but parts. One is that project has got some business objective or business outcomes that we have to achieve, and secondly it expresses what, how we are going to do it, what technology, what methodology, what solutions, what you are going to incorporate to develop that particular outcomes of the business outcome through that product or maybe the service that we are going to develop. So that is what first you have to understand, the two parts of the goal. Now if you look at the project goals, there are two types, tactical and strategy goal. And there are three dimensions, cost goal, scope goal and time goal. Every project is time bound, we know that. So that is why time is very important dimension. You should be very clear what will be your period on which you have to work around and close the project. Then cost, every budget is allotted some, every project is allotted with some budget. So that budget is our constraint, and you have to ensure that within the budget we have to finish the project. Doing all this thing, the scope, that is also vital. You should not miss out anything in the scope which is defined. So these are three important dimensions of the project goal. Now when you talk about the type, tactical goal is something short term, means day to day basis. You have to have to carry out when you are executing the project development cycle. You have to have the different maybe goals for the day, for the week, and you have to keep reviewing the things and tracking it so that you are on the proper progress of project. Strategic goals are generally meant for higher level decisions, wherein first of all is that project is having some feasibility and it is going to add some value to the business, or it is going to gain some profit from the product selling, that development of project. All these things is a strategic goal. So what is you are going to achieve through that project finally at top level? So that is maybe the decision taken by top level management. So these are two types of goals. Now when we come to the next terminology, that is project stakeholders. Now stakeholders is the entire set of people who are interested directly or indirectly, or who are going to get affected or influenced by that project. So we have to identify who are the stakeholders. It can be end user, it can be a customer, it can be the owners or the sponsors of the project, the business itself, the business related people. So all those are you have to identify. We'll see exact category. What are the expectation of that stakeholders from the project. So every stakeholder has got different interest area. So different objectives he want to achieve, or he or she want to achieve through that project. So that should be clear. Then who are the stakeholders who would lose something due to the project? So there may be some negative impact due to the project. See, many times if you look at the project like making the bridge or some land acquisition based project, so people may lose their land, which is their fertile lands, and they may be losing their revenue through agricultural works. So that may be the loss for them. So land acquisition is a very great problem when you are doing big projects, especially government project, like what we have with bullet train. So such projects, there can be a lot of impacts, environmental impacts, financial impacts, maybe negative impacts, especially to the people who are getting suffered through that project. So that we have to take into consideration. What is the impact of them? Would they pose the risk success of the project? Any risk because of the project implementation? That also we have to assess and ensure that the risk can be minimized. They get compensated for the risk. So that we have to take into consideration. What can be done to reduce the impact? I already said, so that stakeholders will not get affected to great extent. Then who are the stakeholders who would benefited by the project? That also we have to see. So how many people, a mass of the people, and how much they get the benefit out of it. Like suppose we have a metro project. So it's a commutation. How easy the commutation will be for the people who are moving around in the city. So that is one benefit they have to work out. What be with the benefits as a whole to the society, to the surrounding? So that also we have to analyze. As the stakeholders, of course, to the individuals, how it is going to benefit. Then in case of conflicting requirements between stakeholder, that should be prioritized for the satisfying different set of stakeholders. So from stakeholder to stakeholder, there may be some differences, there may be some conflicts, and that we have to resolve before we really start working on the project. So that should not become our issue or hindrance when our project is on track. So that these are the important aspects when you talk about stakeholders. So these are different types of stakeholders, right from this project sponsor, who is actually funding us, the project manager, who is executing the project or coordinating the project team, who is actually involved in development or fabrication or delivering the project, support staff, who is actually giving all different types of resources or support to the main team, customer, end user, suppliers. These are all different stakeholders we have to take into consideration with the aspect which we discussed in the prior slide. Next term we would like to discuss is project risk. I think in my first chapter also I discussed about the project risk. It is something which is uncertain, since project is something new endeavor. So many things which are unknown to us, so we are exploring it, and there is always good chance of some uncertainties or something may happen which is beyond our control. So that you have to take into consideration and mitigate it, so that the impact may be positive or negative, whatever impact, will be in the controlled manner, within our control aspect or within our holdings. So that is what we have to ensure. So uncertainty, project team can plan against the uncertainty, some changes or chances that may happen in the situation. Some everything, every time and everything won't be as smooth as every day. Some uncertainty, ups and downs will be there, and how we can tackle that. So risk by definition is what? Uncertain event or condition that will negatively impact. Majorly we are concerned about the risk which cause negative impact. So we have to understand the probability or likelihood of that risk and how much impact it has, so that we can categorize or prioritize which risk we have to handle first and with the how much seriousness. That is what we have to take care. So risk management is a project involved is identifying the risk. What are the pointers? These are the pointers what we require to handle the risk management. Identify the risk, assessing and analyzing likelihood and impact of the risk, trying to reduce the uncertainty or trying to possibility of that happening risk factor, we have to minimize. Okay, trying to lessen the impact, at least if you can't avoid, you can reduce the impact of it. Developing contingency plan or for critical risks, we should always have a backup plan, contingency plan, so that something completely closed or not visible, then we should have plan B to work around. Monitoring the risk on this project progress. So risks which we have identified in the initial planning is to be monitored continuously, so that whenever it takes place, we should take care of it. That is what is the idea. Risk management consists of 6 sub-processes. Of course, everything this we have exclusive chapter on risk management. Here just we have to go through the pointer. We need not to explore on this. So just risk management planning, at the planning stage itself, you have to identify the risk and the solution for the risk or mitigation of the risk that you have to do in the planning stage. Now how to approach and conduct risk management activities, that also we have to plan or draft it at the planning stage. Identification, managing, qualitative risk analysis, we have to do something in terms of statistical way or probability, we have to work around so that we can see the impact of it, and even we can see those what sort of solutions we can work around. So all those things we have to work out. Assessing the likelihood and possible outcome, I said probability and all that. Quantitative risk management, qualitative, quantitative, both aspects we have to see, and where we can see the solutions to make the minimum impact. Computer simulation will give a very good insight, or we can experiment if then analysis sort of thing, which will give us some clue to mitigate the risk. That will be the ideally we can do without losing much of our efforts and money or even time by doing some simulations or using some decision tree analysis. These are some techniques that you can adapt for minimizing the impact of the risk, identification and mitigating the risk. Next aspect is the project resource. Again, I am telling you, we have complete unit on resource management, and which I already mentioned, there are various type of resource like material, manpower, methodology, machinery, all those resources, how we have to plan. So these are project resources is very, very vital, because once you plan it and start executing it, your resource should be aligned with the process. If not, then our process may held up, and then it will lose the track, time frame and even money. So that is how we have to very, very particular of planning the resource, right from various suppliers to the manpower which is involved in the development, equipment which are having some chances of failure, so preventive maintenance, then the material scarcity, all those aspects basically we'll see in detail in the resource management. This is one terminology I'm just exploring here. Project cost. Project is meant for some specific objective. At the same time, it is being allotted with the budget. You know that in newspaper, many times we have come across the government project especially. Because of delay, the project cost is almost double or triple over the period. And that is what is not practicable or feasible in private agency, where there is always this constraint of funds. We have to stick to the cost and the time. Otherwise, it will not be feasible to get the results, and sometimes project fail completely. So we have to take into consideration the all different component, cost components, and we have to do some little bit budgetary workout and cash flow. How we have to maintain the cash flow over a period. There may be capital cost, there may be variable component, and fixed component, all those aspects we have to take into consideration. So that will come under project cost. Now project planning. This is again one unit. So project planning is activity before we actually get into the project. What way we can organize or we are going to proceed, that is very, very important to draft as a project planning. The project purpose and goal that we already discussed in the beginning is first of all the first point to be clear in the planning, because that is going to be our guide how we are going to approach or make a journey. So that is what project proposal and the goal. Then you have to have scheduling, time frame. gang chart like tool can be used for this against the calendar. Exact number of weeks and number of hours also we can come down to granular level. Okay. Then what sort of outcomes or deliveries, deliverables at different stages of project? Because that is basically like our landmarks, which ensure us and give us the confidence we are on the right track. So that is what we have to check. So that is part of the project planning, because we have to identify those landmarks, and well-defined landmarks will always give a good success possibilities. Then next is work breakdown structure, which make up the work product, the entire ultimate objective or goal that we are going to achieve through the project is not a single objective. So we have to break down that into small objectives or small tasks. And as you go in the journey, you go on achieving these and closing these small tasks, and integrating these small tasks will ultimately lead you to the bigger tasks. So that is what breakdown structure means, because it will ease your defining the process and the various activities, how you are going to organize. It is like a divide and conquer. So that approach is very, very useful, especially in the complex project. Then once you identify the different tasks, you can assign that to the respective team or respective individual, and you can even follow up with them, so that your project can be a part of number of tasks together which are integrated, and we can see time to time how these tasks are achieved, fulfilled. So my progress in the project in terms of time bar is going proper smoothly. Risk associated with each task, that is we already discussed in the previous slide. So once you break down all different tasks, from each task we can identify what are the risks. So it is at granular level, small level. So if you can handle that risk at that small level, it is always beneficial rather than it happens at higher level. So these all aspects we to cover through the project planning. There are other few more points that we have to go through. Dependency in each task, so that the sequence of tasks is as per the inherent logic. See, dependency, there are many sequential type of atoms. So we have to plan, especially when you are developing a critical path. So we should know which is the critical path, then what is the sequence of actions which will lead to the project progress. And every action or every process, what are the resources to be organized to make it that happen, which will make the entire flow of the project in aspect of proper time and the money. Both aspects we are controlling through this proper project planning. Process needed and standard required for ensuring good quality and deliverables. See, when you are developing any product or even service, everything has to be measurable. Well, you remember in the first chapter, we discussed about SMART goal. What is SMART goal? So there is something called M. M is for measurable. So every measurable things can be verified. So we have to follow some standards. Maybe key process indicator we can say, or we can say the product quality standard, which may be national or international level standard, which can be our guidance or reference that we follow for identifying the quality as per the something which is as given as a standard reference. People resource, such as people of the requisite skill, cost and right time. This is the most critical part. Getting good people with required skill set in the desirable cost, and their availability, their mentality, their moods. This is the most complex part that we have to, even though we plan a lot, at the time of execution is really a hassle. So this is one critical area. Material and other resources, such as equipment, requirements and product, you have to identify the resources, especially in terms of equipment and material. We have to categorize those things in terms of high value, medium value, low value, and the amount of material required, so that you can have inventory planning, proper inventory planning. And that is very, very important. That is part of the project planning. Then you have to do everything in with the time in the documentation part, training, implementation of activities. You have to make proper charts best way you have to use the graphical means of like flow chart, activity charts and all that. As you go in detailing with the graphical means of representing it, it will be easy for the team. Then post implementation activity, warranty, etc. These are all aspects we have to cover in the project planning. Now we'll come to the next step, that is a project execution. Now in the project execution, your project plan is your standard reference and you have to follow that plan. Now every aspect in the planning, in terms of time, in terms of money, that you have to track when the execution is going on. Right? So this is right from the design, development, testing, repair, troubleshooting, all those things. This is part of the project execution. We'll see in the SDLC cycle in more details of it. Then what are the tools and other requirements, that equipment, support services, all those aspects we have to check time to time, because project has to progress smoothly. So all these resources should be readily available, smoothly available. Material, of course, tasks to perform, to achieve the product. So what are the tasks which we already discussed at the work breakdown structure will give us the different tasks and their sequence, and we have to follow that sequence. Then project people, the team, we are being assigned the different tasks. Are they equipped? Are they having sufficient skill? Otherwise, you have to identify the trainings and make them knowledgeable so that they can deliver. So all those things are also part of the execution. Production, productivity, all we have to track continuously whether the productivity as expected or there is some lags, so that we have to track continuously. People, we have to see the absentees. Because of absentee, your project is not progressing. And there are equipment breakdowns, so preventive maintenance, corrective maintenance. So all those productivity which are going to get affected because of all these aspects, we have to be very much in, you know, it's a proactive way of handling all these things. Then finally, inspection and control, motivating the people so that they remain on the task with best of their abilities. So that is what you have to see. Project tracking, review and oversight. So all this terminology, again, project tracking separate unit. Here we are, I'm just introducing the term project tracking. The tracking is meant for checking the progress in terms of money and time, especially whether it is going as per the plan or any sort of lags are there, or planning getting disturbed because of some resource scarcity or some human being problems, something like that. So they have to identify. So you need a review. So review means periodically, depending on the complexity of the project or the team involved, we have to see weekly, fortnightly, we have to have meetings, maybe online meetings, and check that everybody in sync, their progress is in proper path, and your milestones are significant points of the projects are well achieved. So that you have to review, that give you the confidence whether your project is in direction of progress. Then you have to oversight, means progress is going on, but you have to have some sort of indicators or monitoring, so that you understand, is there any issue is going to happen or any risk factors is going to happen, specific issue you can forecast. So that is what you have to keep eyesight or oversight without really getting into it, but some sort of watchdog you have to have so that you can check anything going wrong anywhere. So these are the things, these are the different aspects which are mentioned in chapter 2, which we are going to see in much, much detail in the consecutive chapters, because whatever titles I discuss or the terminology I discuss in this chapter is elaborated in individual chapters. So there we'll see the all detail inside of this in the consecutive chapters. Thank you very much.